What are your thoughts around people that say their parents have said to them, I didn't raise you this way?
Well, that's a loaded question. What is it you'd like to know? How to handle parents who say like that? Or how should a kid respond to that, depending on their age? What part of it would you like to get into?
Mainly discussing your thoughts around that parent saying that to an adult children, to their adult children.
Well, I would say, first of all, I feel sad that your parents are so detached from reality and unable to take responsibility for the impact they had on your behavior. The single greatest influence on our life is our parents, whoever raised us. And so while it may be true, let's say you ended up, I don't know, breaking a law and going to jail, it's probably true they did not raise you to break the law and go to jail. But remember, we were talking earlier about metaphor, descriptor. So parents break the law all the time in their parenting. Their actions don't align to their words. Parents many times tell their children what they should do or how they should become, but they don't live it. You know, perfect example, you know, is my father. He had a rule whenever, because there were four kids of us within 5 years of each other, so we're constantly fighting. So the rule was, if two people are fighting, everyone has to stay out of it, because it would just become a disaster. You know, man, just think of Charlie Brown and Dust, you know, just rah, you know, just pure chaos, and everyone punching Kate, like just mayhem. And so that was the rule he instituted. And then, you know, I was having a discussion with my mom in my late teens, and my dad comes bounding up the stairs. Don't talk to your mother that way. And I very sheepishly and was like, well, but Dad, I thought your rule was if two people are fighting that no one else gets involved. I want to hear it. Just don't talk to your mother that way. So my dad broke the law. My dad was in denial. My dad was in self-deception. If we're breaking the law and we go to jail, we're in self-deception. Our parents taught us how to deceive ourselves.
That's what it becomes, is do as I say, not as I do.
Amen. And every parent, even if they were surrounded by 1,000 of the best teachers on parenting, every one of those 1,000 great teachers would give poor advice because they're human at some point, and the parent would make a mistake. We are going to leave trauma in our children. It's unavoidable. So instead of this fear of, and this, well, I didn't raise you that way. That's a child. That's the child inside of the parent who's still hurting from their own childhood. And this is why I'm so sad for them. Because they were never allowed to have their voice. They were never allowed to admit that they were hurt by their parents. They were never allowed to conquer their own worst day cycle of trauma, fear, shame, and denial, and heal any of that. So now they have to be perfect. And now I'm in the position of power, just like their parents were. And so I can't be wrong. Just like mom and dad taught me. That was the law. Mom and dad are right. The church sends that. The mess, you know, society sends that. Parents are infallible. And people will hear me as though I'm blaming parents. I'm not blaming parents. Blame means somebody made a conscious choice to do something. Almost all of these things happen subconsciously, out of awareness, because we lack the information, skills, and tools to deal with this stuff. And so we're just making honest mistakes, and we are responsible for those and the consequences of it. Here's a great example.
Especially once you find out.
Yes. I will throw myself under the bus to again try to demonstrate I'm not shaming or blaming parents. When I started my construction company years ago, money was tight. And I got my first deck job. I was going to actually make it, you know, real money instead of handyman stuff. Well, because of my lack of emotional mastery and my lack of recovery from the worst day cycle, the night before I went, Colorado was going through a housing boom. I went to the development where they're building houses, and they just dropped a lumber pack for redwood decking to go on a new house because they're building all these new houses. I stole all the lumber, took it the next day to build the deck that I'd gotten the job for. Saved me, you know, it was like a $2,500, $3,000 job. Most of it was profit.
Yeah.
Now, here's what parents don't realize. Our kids become our emotional condition. So at that time, I had a child who was, gosh, less than a year old, somewhere between 6 and 18 months. Here's a father. Filled with fear, filled with shame, filled with insecurity and low self-esteem, didn't believe that he could start a construction company doing it the above law, following the law, had to break the law to get the construction company going so I could eventually support my family. Well, that child ended up having problems with stealing. That's a direct reflection on her father.
Interesting.
I didn't raise you this way. Not directly. I didn't raise my child that. And I remember I used to go to Home Depot, and if I needed little screws or things, I'd steal those too. You know, small little things I could fit in my pocket. I'd steal those too. So I had a stealing problem. So did this child. I broke the law. That's on me. And so did I ever send the message or teach my child? Well, most would say no. But remember, denial and self-deception works not just directly, but indirectly. And our children become our emotional condition. So that's on me. Now, I'm not responsible for my child making that choice, and I am responsible for the part I played. It's both. We joined in that breaking of the law together. And so my job isn't to be perfect. It isn't to not make mistakes. But When I was pursuing the authentic self cycle and emotional mastery and all of these truths came to light, I made amends to that child, and I let them know, look, while I won't take ownership of your choices because you're now an adult, I will take my part, and here's what was going on. And so I confessed to my perfect imperfections to let my child know this was a lack of parental leadership on my part. And had the world taught the things I teach, or had any of this been part of society, and had it my parents taught me and all the different things, I can't promise I would have made a different decision. And that's why I never used should or could. Should or could are shame statements. They're a lack of personal forgiveness for the fact that we are perfectly imperfect, human and limited. And so instead, I always use would. And so, as I said to my child, I would like to think I wouldn't have made this decision. I know this much. I would have liked to have never done that, because I do recognize that your situation, I played a big part in. And so the amends I've been making to you is I have been spending decades working on my worst day cycle of trauma, fear, shame, and denial. And I don't steal anymore. You know, and it was funny too, because right around that time, what brought it all home to me was I was at a Best Buy and I went inside, I don't know, got something, came back out, and right next to my car was a wallet. And it was filled with cash. Several hundred dollars. And it never crossed my mind. I just picked it up. I saw the license. I went right back in. I just said, hey, I found this in the parking lot. I don't know if they're here or not. Would you mind calling out and seeing it? And sure enough, the guy was in there. He got his wallet back. And it was in walking back to my car that it all hit me. Oh my gosh. I'm not a stealer anymore. And so I've done my part as a parent. I was perfectly imperfect. I lived in the authentic self site, go truth. I'm a stealer. Take responsibility by putting a plan in place to do the healing. Forgive myself. Forgive society and everything else. And then sit in front of my daughter, confess who I am, but put a plan in place to deal with it. Even doesn't matter how old your child is. If you're 70 and your child's 40, you're still parenting. You can still leave a mark on your child. It never ends. And so that's why I'm so diligent about doing all of this stuff, is I'm still parenting my kids, even though they're gone. You know, it never ends. It's my response. I believe this is my truth, at least. I believe it's a parent's job to spend their life healing themselves so they can model the change and then watch your children live the change. That's parenting, not telling them, I didn't raise you this way, but going, wow, what part did I play in these choices? I need to take ownership of that. I can't own all of it, because they'll do some of it. You're an adult. They'll do some of it. But I need to investigate what part is mine. I need to work on that, because that's my only chance at helping them break the pattern that they're in. And that's why I say model the change and watch your children live the change. So that personally to me is how I'd handle it. Now, if I were the child in that situation, I'd do a lot of work on me, because I'd recognize my parents aren't willing to do the worst day cycle recovery, authentic self cycle, and emotional mastery. And therefore I'm going to have to parent myself out of this. And so I would get in the truth, take responsibility, heal, and forgive.
Know this. I am that son, you know, of a parent that, for parents that have chosen that route.
Oh.
And I can relate to, if you do realize as you're watching this and you feel a lot of sadness around it, I can relate and empathize with the sadness, because to me it was an overwhelming amount of grief and sadness that I had to go through as I accepted the reality of what you just expressed.
Which I think what you're saying is that your parent couldn't take responsibility, so you realized, I'm going to have to reparent myself out of this. I'm going to have to model it for myself and then live it within myself. I don't have a parent willing to do that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. That realization.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Yet the...
For them too.
Yeah, for both. Yet, you know, and there's still a little sadness there. I think when I bring it, you know, bring my body there, but acceptance as well. And you know what? We're all doing the best we can. And I'm all right because of this work and the emotional mastery and taking care of myself better every day. I know I'll be all right. And I hope they get better. And maybe there's a day in which we connect again at a deeper level. Maybe it won't happen, but we're all doing our best right now.
Do you feel closer to that parent now that you've gone through that process, now that you see them authentically? even I'm not saying you're able to share intimate details and have closeness with them. What I'm saying is by getting into truth of who they really are and no longer needing them to change, because now you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yes, closeness, there's a closeness in two ways. One, to my biological parent, in the sense of acceptance and truly seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the greatness in them. And all, but also closeness with myself as my own parent, as like, wow, like I've realized also how much I can control.
Yeah.
Versus how much I focused in the past over what I cannot control.
That's the biggest, and see, that's what I've found with every single person that's gone through the worst day cycle recovery through emotional mastery, is their greatest fear is, if I do this work, I adapted these personalities to protect my parents. And if I accept what you're saying is true, that, you know, my parents were imperfect, that means I'm going to lose all connection with them. But the exact opposite happens. Even if they don't own their side of the street, for the first time, you actually feel really connected to them. And nothing's changed with them. But because we're in truth of who they are and how limited they are, it's like when I figured it all out and sat there watching my dad as he was dying, and I had that moment, I was just like, oh my gosh. I no longer needed him to change, because I knew how to parent me in the way he never could. And therefore, he was set free from me and my demands. Because think of it. What's a child? A child is immature, going, you need to be God and you need to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, you're the problem. And then I can't live my life. And so that's the double bind we're all placed into, is I can't blame my parents, but I'm blaming my parents, because if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be struggling. And so they never get out of it. Well, what's the solution? Make yourself the parent, take responsibility, do the healing work. And all of a sudden, both of those go away and you just go, oh, there they are. Aren't they cute when they're a nightmare? Now, certain parts of their nightmare I need to have distance from, but I don't need to change them anymore. I don't need to shame them for the ways they hurt me. I can accept them. I don't have to tolerate it. But you get that balance of, man, God, I love them. It's what true acceptance is. But to do that, you have to get into truth of who they really are and how limited it is. And you have to get into truth that it's now your job. That ship has sailed. Once you become an adult, the day you hit 18, it's your job now. And if you choose not to do the work, that's on you, not them. Whether you protect them or blame them. Protect them meaning saying, oh, they're perfect and this isn't, they didn't know, none of that's true. Or you, but either road, every single one of us, in my view, once we turn 18, needs to start the recovery journey and reparenting ourselves. Oh
man, you know what's interesting? When you said that, I felt like this piercing pain on my stomach when you say that's on you. You know, and it's interesting because I think there have been plenty of decades in my life where I really wanted to blame so much. You know, I was raised by I don't even know what to call it. Some would say single mother, but here's the deal. Like, she was always working. So I was kind of raised by my grandma / my aunt / whoever the heck was around at any given hour. It's kind of passed around like a baton. And my dad, my biological dad, decided not to show up. So I didn't even meet him or ever talk to him until the age of 22.
Wow.
And yeah, he never gave my mother assent or contributed to my education. Nothing, no food, no clothing. And as a matter of fact, at one point in my adult, after my 30s, I said, look, I actually do want you to give me something. And if not for me, for my mom, like I actually asked him for $100,000, he blocked me. And I was like, you know what? I understand why that happened, but I'm also really glad I asked, because I never asked. And I guess there was so, as you can see, you know, I mean, there's so many experiences of growing up as that child where I grew so bitter. And I, you know, there is still a lot of anger in me, you know, it's processed. So when I hear you say that, sometimes there's like, no, but, you know, that anger that wants to direct rationality at, no, but they messed up this way.
Yeah, both are true.
They need to fix it, right? When it's like, yeah, I get it. You know, it's as the adult me says with wisdom now, hey, you're the adult now. You know, that they had their time and that was what the best they did.
Yeah, a child blames. Whether we're blaming a parent, whether we're blaming the narcissistic ex, a coworker, a boss, we know when we are disconnected from maturity and moderation and our authentic self when we're blaming somebody else. We always play a part. And until we take responsibility of the part we play, we're stuck. Now, a child who's defenseless is not responsible. And once they become an adult, I'll say that again, once they become an adult, it is their responsibility to heal, if to do whatever healing is necessary, if those around them haven't done the work and haven't made amends and tried to fix it. They can't do that for us. And anytime we as an adult want our parents or anybody else, or government especially, that's really prevalent now.
Mm-hmm.
If we want any outside entity to fix the problem, that's a sure sign we are stuck in our adapted wounded child. And I don't care what your age is, you are not adult. You are still, and that's a valiant
acting like one, exactly.
Yeah, that's a valiant, and I like, think of it. What it really is somebody just screaming out, please, I'm so desperate for you to love me. You know, even in most of the time, they'll say, no, my childhood was perfect. They're just so, no, this is about the narcissist, not my parents. And I'm like, you don't end up with a narcissist unless there was a lot of trauma in your childhood.
Yep.
And, you know, so people want to segregate it and keep that cloak of perfectionism around their parents. And they don't realize they're not loving them, their parents, when they do that. They're not honoring them. They're not honoring themselves. They're going to repeat this. Like, it's just, it never works. And so, again, the feeling, you'll know you're in self-deception if, when I say that's on you, you feel that and you don't address it, that shame comes up of, oh, I've got to confront this. And, oh, my parent, all that shame is your parents' pain. It's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sure sign there's some work there that you could choose if you want to do or not.
Okay.
And if you choose not to, now that you're an adult, you are responsible for that consequence, not them. Because you're an adult now. You have agency. And that's the thing. People really get their back up around having to take responsibility. And my whole platform is about personal responsibility. And that's a sticking point for a lot of people. We really, in our culture, really celebrates the victim identity to the peril of us all. So at any rate, that would be my explanation, or of, you know, a parent saying, I didn't raise you this way.